It's very good to be here with you this morning to fellowship with God's people in this place, and hello to those people too who are watching online this morning. I've been reflecting lately on transition and the different transitions we find ourselves in through our lives. And a couple of weeks ago, I had a wonderful holiday with my friend Desma, who came to this church and is known to many of you. She moved to Karratha with her family beginning of the year, and we kept in touch, and we arranged a holiday in her caravan. So I got on a plane and I flew to Exmouth, where she met me, and we spent the next 11 days relaxing and reading, exploring the natural surroundings, and we did have the odd conversation or two just to catch up on life and things that were happening. Then we took most of a day to drive to Karratha. Well, Desma drove. That's about 550 kilometres, and that was of changing landscapes. If you've been to that part of the world, it's an amazing natural beauty. It's fabulous. And I enjoyed a couple of nights. I stayed with Kimberly and Ryan and their children, and Desmond and I did some sightseeing. And then I got on another plane, and about 2 hours later, I came back to Perth. It was a great time away, and I experienced several transitions in that short holiday. Getting on an aeroplane and flying a couple of hours somewhere isn't a terribly demanding transition. I've been on aeroplanes for many hours, as probably many of you have, and you get to the other side of the world, you're amazed, you can step off the plane and here you are in another place altogether. However, while I've physically moved that far, it doesn't take me long to realise that my body is still at home. Because I want to go to sleep in the middle of the day, or I'm awake half the night, and we call that jet lag, and it takes a while to become accustomed to being in a different place. And that's quite a picture, really, of some of the ways we transition in our life. Sometimes we get to a place, but we haven't quite arrived. The rest of us is still sort of catching up, as it were. There are other kinds of transitions. On my holiday, we went snorkelling. Well, that's a wonderful transition, isn't it? You put on a mask and a snorkel and you jump in the water and you can see beautiful fish, amazing. And you can breathe, you can stay there for a long, long time. It's wonderful. And the driving, another transition, again, those fabulous landscapes. And I guess my holiday took place within another transition that I'm making at the moment. I have sold my unit and I bought another one, and I'm packing up in anticipation of moving soon. The packing up is a transition, putting your worldly goods into boxes and anticipating and packing them and putting them in different places in the new home that you create. And moving day, just over a week away now, when you see all your things loaded in the van and they arrive and things all taken out and it's complete chaos. And then you work towards arranging. I can see you nodding. People have done this numerous times. But what a transition that is. And getting used to being in another place. Finding out where the shops are. Travelling around unfamiliar streets. Meeting new people. And after I've moved on other occasions, I have actually driven to my own home sometimes. I don't know if you've ever done that. Instead of where I'm now living. And again, there's something about me that hasn't quite caught up with the fact that I am. There's some internal thing going on that hasn't quite got through the process yet. And as I was reflecting on all these things, I wondered if I could find a Bible story about transition. And I realised actually there are lots of them. Lots of them. People going from one place to another, experience different kinds of things. And I think Jesus' life, certainly his life, his ministry, was a life of transition. He didn't really have a home. He travelled around and he did that for 3 years. That was really a transition lifestyle, I guess, if you'd call it that. And then I decided to reflect on the big transition in the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, the departure of the Hebrew people from slavery in Egypt to the promised land in Canaan. Now, this is a long story, and you can read it yourself through the book of Exodus. We'll just consider a very small part of it this morning and what it might mean for us in our life transitions. Let us pray. Lord God, I thank you for those times in our lives when we are in transition, sometimes exciting, sometimes challenging. Guide us this morning to hear what you would teach us about change and transition in the small things and the big things in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the Hebrews had been in slavery to the Egyptians for many years. And we'd like to have the first reading now to look at that. This reading comes from Exodus 12. The Israelites had lived in Egypt for 430 years. At the end of 30 years, to the very day, God's entire army left Egypt. God kept watch all night, watching over the Israelites as he brought them out of Egypt. Because God kept watch, all Israel for all generations will honour God by keeping watch this night. 430 years is a long time to be in slavery. And I wonder what happened to the people and their sense of God and faith in that time. I could understand that they might think that God had left them. Here they were in pretty difficult circumstances. And in this reading, we can see, and the next one too, that God had not abandoned them. He was watching over them. They were not alone and abandoned. They were to come to an important phase of their lives as individuals and as a nation of God's people. And the second part of that reading from Exodus 13, God went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud during the day to guide them on the way, and at night in a pillar of fire to give them light. Thus they could travel both day and night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night never left the people. Now, I don't know what they really thought about a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire, but God was making himself visible to them in these elements, if you like. And perhaps they needed that reassurance after being in a situation for so long where they had been oppressed, used, probably abused, and who knows where they were in their own sense of themselves, their sense of a nation. And God shows them that he is there. We can experience challenging times, and perhaps we have wondered where God is in the middle of those painful times. And this scripture reminds us God doesn't abandon us, but we remain in the eyesight of God, whatever's happening in our lives. And often God makes himself known to us in those times. Now, it's not always obvious. And perhaps a pillar of cloud mightn't have been all that obvious. There are often many clouds in the sky. I'm not sure what a pillar of cloud might have looked like. Sometimes we have to seek and find those places where God is in those challenging times. And this is an important transition that God is taking these people on. It lasted for 40 years, as it turned out. And as slaves, they'd lived a particular life, and now they are being transitioned as a large, motley group of slaves into a nation of God's people. This is a very important transition, one that God has initiated. And I'm not sure the people always understood what was happening to them or how God was forming them in this process. It wasn't long before they started to complain and think that their lives as slaves was better than their current situation. And we see that many times through that story. I'm sure you've read it. And there's another reading here that we'll have next. Thank you. Moses led Israel from the Red Sea to the wilderness of Shur. They travelled for 3 days through the wilderness without finding any water. They got to Marah, but they couldn't drink the water at Marah. It was bitter. That's why they called the place Marah. And the people complained to Moses, "So what are we supposed to drink?" So Moses cried out in prayer to God. God pointed to him to a stick of wood. Moses threw it in the water and the water turned sweet. And this was the beginning of many things that God did. And the reading continues, that's the place where God set up rules and procedures. That's where he started testing them. He said, if you listen, listen obediently to how God tells you to live in his presence, obeying his commands and keeping all his laws, then I won't strike you with all the diseases that I inflicted on the Egyptians. I am God, your healer. So here are the people walking along. They don't have enough water and they complain about it, and then they find water but they can't drink it. So Moses cries out to God and he provides the answer. This case, throw a stick in the water and it becomes sweet. Who knows how that happens? But this is the beginning of many lessons people had to learn about what it meant to be the people of God. As slaves, their lives were ruled by others, and I expect they had very little say in what they did from day to day. They were expected to work hard, probably and even harder. And what was the reward for their hard work? Well, perhaps next to nothing, but they might have be provided with food and shelter so that they could keep working hard. Nowadays we talk about job satisfaction. Don't know that as a slave you get a lot of job satisfaction, but but maybe you create it because you have to keep yourself going somehow. Maybe you could look at what you'd achieved, even as a slave you had achieved something. So the people are used to living under the direction and control of others, and now God offers them a new way to be in relationship as God's people. So he lays out some rules and procedures, invites them to listen, to be obedient to what they hear, and to live within God's laws. So how is this different to what they had known as slaves? Well, God is giving them choice, and I think that's what you lack as a slave. He wants to train them to hear and to choose to follow his ways. And in doing so, they will live well with God and with one another. This is not just about slavishly following rules and directions. It's about living life in a more satisfying and a fulfilling way. And God's laws are based on love. They're about choosing to live in certain ways that led to love and faith. Primarily, it was about relationship with God. That's what they're being called to. That God wants to have relationship with his people is remarkable enough. But we learn about the patience and faithfulness of God as this relationship begins and grows and the people make a few poor choices along the way. And God tells them he will honour their choices to be his people by being their healer. And I think that people who'd been enslaved for 430 years probably needed a bit of healing of body, soul and spirit, and to find how to make a choice if that had been taken away from them for so long. God has undertaken this transition. He has saved them from slavery and has saved them to a life of fellowship with God and with each other. Now, it doesn't always go smoothly, and there are a lot of lessons to be learnt during the next 40 years. And as I was reflecting on this story, I can see a parallel here in our own lives. As Christians, we have been saved from our own slavery to sin to a life of fellowship with God and with each other. God is giving us a choice to accept his grace, mercy, love and forgiveness, and to follow him by faith every day. And like the Hebrew people so long ago, this transition can have a few growing pains attached to it. When God comes into our lives, some things change immediately. Our eternal status changes. We are now children of God. We receive the Holy Spirit to be our guide and friend. From this moment, we're on a different path than the one we were on previously. We are now transitioning to become more like God, to love him with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, and to love our neighbours as ourselves, and to keep in fellowship with God every day. And we become part of the body of Christ, the church, God's fellowship of his disciples on earth. Like the people coming out of slavery in Egypt, sometimes we complain when things don't quite go the way we expect. This new life is supposed to be better than the old one, and we lose sight of that sometimes. But God is watching over us, God is with us, and even when we make poor choices or get distracted, we find love and forgiveness when we return to God's fellowship once again. When the Hebrews left Egypt, they had very little idea of what was ahead of them. They had hard times, they failed God, they found themselves in situations they could not have imagined. Moses, their leader, gets frustrated with them and complains to God on more than one occasion. But God's intention is to form them into his people, and he continues to be faithful to what he wants, relationship with them, and he works very hard at it. Our lives can be similar. We have hard times, we fail God, we find ourselves in situations we could not have imagined. I think that those who love us and are guiding us in our faith journeys may well complain to God at times about us. Is that so? I think that God's intention has not changed. He wants relationship with us, even all these thousands of years later. He loves us and seeks to guide us in his way. And we discover that he is faithful, even when we are not. Change comes to us in different ways. Sometimes we decide to make a change in our lives. I decided to move, this time to be closer to the beach. And I want to enjoy the beach. And I'm doing all the things to make that happen. There's a mixture of sadness, a bit of sadness of what is left behind, but a much greater sense of anticipation and excitement about the possibilities of being at the beach more often and more easily. There may come a time when I wonder why I made the move at all. You might have had this experience. You're very excited about something that you've decided to do, and you get there, and the reality of being in the new place, somehow the shine rubs off a bit, and all the things that are unfamiliar can suddenly raise doubts for you about, now, why did I make this decision? And we have to remind ourselves. Yeah. And there are many decisions that we can make to bring about change in our lives, whether it's about our home, our family, our relationships, training, our employment, social activities. There are many areas of our lives where we decide to make changes. And there are other changes that come to us that we don't decide. The unexpected, the surprises, losses, to name a few. And we find ourselves in a transition process that we didn't invite. Sometimes this is great and sometimes it isn't. There are times when we can feel in no man's land, when we have left behind what is gone and there's no going back to the same, but the new thing hasn't quite emerged. And we're in this funny in-between period where things seem uncertain and clear and unclear. And I think the Hebrew people spent 40 years in that unclear place, and probably the whole Jewish nation spent thousands of years waiting for the Messiah. So a few days here and there is a bit insignificant, but no doubt it impacts us, doesn't it? Waiting in this period that seems, well, am I here or am I there? Seems impossible. But it is often necessary to be able to then recognise and value the new thing that comes along, that emerges or is created. I remember when I started a new job managing a group of people. First, it seemed a bit overwhelming, as new jobs often are. There's a lot to learn, to take in. Then one of the team asked me a question, what to do about this? And I was surprised that I could offer several options. And this was true for the next question and the next one. And then I realised I'd learned a few things during my working life that I could pass on to others. And this kind of change is a longer transition. It sort of happens gradually to us. We find new ways of seeing things, but we can't see it often until we're a bit further down the track. Perhaps we're faced with the same situation and we realise we respond differently. We see that we are different. We've grown. And what a relief that is. And this morning, we're all in different places of change and transition in the way we live our lives and our faith journey. And as I've reflected on these things, I realise several things. God continues to invite me to grow in my love and faith when my transition is a good one or if it's very uncomfortable. If I look back, I can see that God has remained faithful in his love and leading. I need other people to support me through change and transition. It can be both joyful and very hard. I want to be with others who are also changing so we can encourage each other and journey together as the body of Christ and the family of God. The Bible tells us many things about our faith journey and what God is wanting to do in our lives. And we'll have the next reading. This gives some ideas. This is from the Message. You might know it from a different version, from Galatians 5. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Aren't they great words that tell us about this growing transition that we're in as Christians, growing to become more like God? This is what we're called to. So what is God inviting you to today? Is it to rejoice in a positive change in your life? To have faith, to continue to trust when things are a bit challenging? Is it to embrace a change that you've been resisting? Is it to engage more with your Christian family, to give and receive support? Like the God of Hebrew people long ago, God wants to be in relationship with us and stimulates us to grow in our love and faith. This is an ongoing journey. How are we going to respond to his invitation to us? Let us pray. Lord God, we bring ourselves and our lives to you this morning in whatever change or transition we are going through. We want to respond to your invitation to us, and we ask for your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness, and your love to be the people you called us to be. We give you thanks that you want to love us, you want to be with us, you want our fellowship. Help us today to receive your love and fellowship. Let's commit ourselves to the ongoing faith journey that you call us to, whatever size, shape it comes in, whether we make decisions or things happen to us. Give us people around us to love and support us, and give us grace to connect with others in fellowship with you. Go with us into this day and the week ahead to be your faithful people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.